There's one thing was striking me when Grant was reading the first reading from Habakkuk. A word kept jumping up, one that we don't use anymore, Selah. Are you familiar with what Selah is? How many people here know what Selah is? It means pause. Think about what you just heard or what you just read. It happens sometimes in the Psalms. It'll come up and say Selah, which will be a nice pregnant pause, if you will, to contemplate what has just transpired. And that's what Habakkuk did, was he was telling you, take a second and think about what you just heard. There were some incredible words there. Just like the incredible words that Jesus spoke in today's Holy Gospel, which took place right after Jesus taught his followers on this mountain in the Galilee, and he taught the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those are the Beatitudes, and it's part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. This is also a part of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus wanted to demonstrate the impact that people who believe in him would make on their world. And so he used two common examples that they were very familiar with, salt and light. Jesus' disciples would be like salt, creating a thirst in others for greater information, who would be wanting to discover why the believer is different. Salt also means that believers can serve as a preservative against the evils of society. Salt also purifies. Have you ever had a cut in the mouth or a sore tooth or even a sore throat? And the doctor tells you, gargle with salt because it helps to purify. I see some people nodding and smiling. It really helps. It's also important for salt to maintain its basic character. If it fails to be salty, it's lost its purpose for existence and then should be tossed out. Being in the Southland, we know a little bit about humidity, don't we? And what'll happen is if you have a container of salt during summer months or really humid, humidity makes the salt shaker fail. Clumped up salt, and you'll see people put rice in their salt shakers to absorb that moisture so that the salt can maintain its saltiness, or else the salt is useless. Restaurants have had to throw out the contents of salt shakers from time to time. Salt was something very precious in the time of Jesus. It was scraped and gathered at seashores, like the shore of the Dead Sea. But I got to tell you, it resulted in salt that was absolutely chock full of impurities. Having been to the Dead Sea twice, I can tell you, don't ever drink it. It is putrid. It's not salt, it's minerals. And those minerals, they smell. But people used it not to eat per se, but for other things. It was used as a preservative. Sometimes they used it to kick up the flavor of something, but for the most time, salting fish and so on, so that even they didn't have salt pork. Trust me on that one, in Israel. Just wouldn't have happened. But other things. There was another use of salt that was known very, very well by the people. As Jesus and his disciples would travel along a road from Jerusalem to someplace else, they would see clay ovens next to houses on the roadside. And these kinds of ovens had been around for ages. And each village had at least one large community oven for the whole village to use. What they burned in these ovens was not wood. It was something that was more readily available than wood. And so they used animal dung. They had a lot of that. They had a lot of animals. But they mixed it with salt and then molded it into patties, which were put out into the sun to dry. If you burned this dung without a mixture of salt on a bare dirt floor oven, it wasn't going to produce much heat. But if you put a slab of salt, a flat slab of salt on a base with these dried patties, the bottoms of these large ovens would be covered with a pretty thick layer of salt, and it would generate heat that would allow for cooking and other things. A pretty substantial amount of heat. The salt base at the bottom of the oven would be removed from the oven from time to time and thrown in a very convenient place, the street. That's why it was Jesus spoke about tossing it out into the street. The useless salt was thrown over the existing road surface, and it improved the footing as people walked on the road. To be the salt of the earth is to be a catalyst to start fires, spiritual fires for others. As Christians, as disciples of Christ, we are to make hearts burn and long for Jesus Christ and for the Word of God. And then there's Jesus' example of light. Light shines and gives direction to others. Individuals described in verses 3 through 10 in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, and so on, they would obviously radiate and point others to the path that Jesus had called them to follow. Their influence on others would be apparent, like a city on a hill or a lamp on its stand. I'm sure many of you have been on airplanes at night. And when you come in or you look out of a window and you see cities or towns illuminated, traveling to see a hillside city, amazing. But if you were to block that light or have a lamp, which is only a little clay thing like this, a dish that a wick was in with oil, if you were to put something over it, it would become useless. The light would not shine. That would be the lamp hidden and placed under a bowl. Jesus wants followers, those people who live, letting the light of Christ shine in them, so that, as he said, others would see their good deeds and praise not to themselves, but to their Father in heaven. One who stands in God's righteousness by faith in him has an intimate spiritual relationship with him, like that of a child to his or her loving Abba or Father. In verse 18 of today's gospel, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Believers would know that everything had been accomplished by what Jesus said and is recorded in John 19:30, it is finished. With those words, he died on the cross. And Jesus wanted people to know the importance of what he had done and sharing his love and his gospel, even to the smallest detail. And that extended even to the smallest Hebrew letter, the jot. The jot, which was also known as the yud, or the smallest stroke of a Hebrew letter. It's like an I, the dot on an I, and it looks like an apostrophe. And then there's the tittle. What is a tittle? It's described as the difference between a capital P and a capital R. That little leg that comes off and makes a P into an R, that is a tittle. And you may have also heard the Greek word iota in some translations of this. Why did Jesus emphasize these things? Because letters make up words. And even a slight change in a letter might change the meaning of a word and a sentence. And we are not called to change anything in the Bible. Jesus said he would fulfill the law by obeying it perfectly. In doing so, he would fulfill the prophets foretelling of the Messiah and his kingdom. But the duty of the people was clear. For righteousness that they were seeking, that of the Pharisees and the current teachers of the law, was insufficient to get them to heaven. It was not at all getting them into the kingdom that Jesus was offering. The righteousness that Jesus demanded from people was not merely external, but it was true inner repentant righteousness based on the faith in God's word. That sure sounds like letting Christ's light shine in us through the things we think, do, and say. I think we need to remember that the same God who gave such intricate detail to Noah in building the ark, and Moses on how to build the tent of meeting, and the tabernacle, and all of its contents, is the same God who says we are to pay great attention to the detail of God's word. God gave great details to Moses about each type of offering and how it should be done. If you look at Leviticus, there's an example after example after example on how everything needed to be done. You didn't stray from it. I want to share with you Leviticus 2:13, because I think it really touches base on today's message. Season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all of your offerings. Jesus said, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." A perfect example of this is when Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a mountain in the northern part of Israel. That's recorded in three different places: Matthew 17, 2 through 3, Mark 9, 2 through 3, and Luke 9, 28 to 36. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Why Moses? Why Elijah? Well, Moses is the one to whom God presented the law, and Elijah represented all the prophets. Jesus stood between them as the absolute fulfillment of the law and the prophets. There was no denying that. The one who came to be the fulfillment of the law and the prophets has called each one of us to be the salt of the earth, that we are to be catalysts in bringing others to Jesus Christ, and that we're to teach, preach through our example, and we're to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. For through his sacrificial love for us, he has made it possible for us to go home, to be with him for all eternity. The need for teaching, for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ is more critical now than ever before. I like to talk about the ministry of presence. Sometimes when somebody's not feeling so good, just going to see them makes all the difference. You don't have to say anything. Just be there. Listen to what's on their mind. You might see somebody who just had a terrible disaster in their family. You might see them at Harvey's or at Walmart or at McKinnon Cattle. But sometimes it's just being there to say hello. Nothing happens by accident. I truly believe that. Sometimes just listening to somebody, just seeing them, it could be a wave as you're driving by. The ministry of presence, just letting them know that you care. People know you're there. People know you care. Being there for someone who might be having a bad day, you don't have to necessarily pray with them, but you can pray for them. Just to let them know you care. People are hungry for the word of God, and sadly, there's so many people who are not being fed. Some of you, and I know because you've told me, have personally witnessed Christ working, not only in your own lives, but in other people's lives. And you've also witnessed the lack of teaching the word of God from friends and neighbors as well. We're called, we're commanded, and we're expected by Jesus to share his word. Each of us is called to teach the good news so that those who hear may believe, and that those who believe may receive Jesus Christ, and those who receive Christ may receive eternal salvation. Just as God reached out beyond himself to create and to love us, we're called to reach out to others, to love and to teach others the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. If we're not reaching out to others, we're not a reflection of the true love and the true loving image of God. We know that we were made in the image and likeness of God. We also know that we are not a reflection of God's true loving nature and character unless we share his light, his love with others. Jesus has taken away any excuse that we may want to use for not doing as he commanded. He told us in the very last words of Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, he said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What greater help do we need? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Be a catalyst. Be a change agent that God expects you to be, and accept the mission to bring souls to Jesus Christ, and he will bless you with the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit. Please remember these important words of Jesus and carry them with you as you leave here today, shaping your behavior and treatment to others. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.